Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to do a spiritual exercise with me right now, with your mind. I want you to begin to image or imagine whatever you think heaven's going to be like when you arrive. Just begin to imagine that. Whatever concept your mind has when you arrive in heaven. Visualize who you will meet. Visualize how you'll feel. Visualize what you'll see, what you'll hear. Now get this in your imagination and take a snapshot. You'll have plenty of opportunities to take more pictures later, but just take a snapshot of your first impression of heaven right now. Just kind of log it over into your memory banks. Push enter. Amen. You got it? Okay. You've got it. Everybody say, I've got it. Interesting, huh? Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand if you saw a color. Your main impression was a color. I saw blue. What'd you see?
Green.
I was expecting green, and I saw blue, and I'm going, no, yeah. Blew me away. Who saw a loved one that's already there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that sweet? That's good. We need that. Anybody see Jesus? Was he there? Yeah. Do you have long hair? That's a religious trick question. Anybody hear a sound? What'd you hear?
I saw.
What'd you hear?
Heard
angels singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. It's real, guys. It's real. It's real. Heaven's real. Amen. We'll give two or three people a sweet hug and say, heaven's real. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship. You guys are so awesome. Okay, before you go to your classes, I want to show you guys about a 5-minute video. So everybody settle in for a 5-minute video. Go ahead and put that on, Nina, whoever's doing it, please. Okay, we started off tonight thinking with the thought of think outside of the box, right? You know? Drop our religious concepts and stained glass windows concepts and pious concepts and just to begin to think outside the box. You know, that's what we've kind of, where we're going tonight. So this little video is going to show how to think, how this person thought outside the box. It's really important to use your imagination with that. What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? I see a little hand with the finger pointing up one way, Jesus. Now we can really use our imagination. This is someone else's imaging of heaven. I'd like to go there if I knew I could get back safely. You know, we actually really did see this earlier. You probably think I'm pulling your leg, but this is real.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. We're going to use our imagination to the fullest extent. I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like. Okay, well, it's not coming back. We don't know why. That's okay. We have vivid imagination. We can take care of that. Amen? Yeah. Okay, anyway, go ahead and go to your classes. What you could have seen had to do with a lady in England who owns a restaurant. That gives you a beautiful picture, huh? Amen. There they go. Teenagers, God's prime. God says, I know everything there is to know about kids. I know everything there is to know about adults. I want to make something that causes me to think. And so he made teenagers. Okay, welcome. Welcome to Sabrina's Friend. You're a movie star, right? Didn't I see you in a movie? In a video? Did you guys bring your video? Yeah. These girls made a video. Yeah, first class. It's awesome. It makes me wish I was rich and beautiful. Okay, thank you, Lord, for showing us just exactly what you want to do with this tonight. Since Sunday, I've had the word imagination on my mind. And since Sunday, I've been periodically through the day or the evening, I would do research on imagination. And about 10 after 4 p.m. today, I come upon a huge brick wall. It just goes boom, like, you're not going any further with this until later. I have no idea why. I don't know if it's a mental block or the Holy Spirit saying, hang in there, I've got more to add before you deliver it. But I do have the liberty to share some thoughts with you along those lines, and I want to turn to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. We have anybody on the computer tonight for that? No? That's okay. We'll use our imagination, right? I want to read out of the Amplified Bible, Genesis 8, 21. Now, this is after the flood. We'll read another verse here in a few minutes. It's before the flood. Flood being what we call Noah's flood. (clears throat) 8:21. Let's do that one first, Amplified. Okay, and actually in verse 20, Noah builds an altar and gives a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 21, when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction to his heart, the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the imagination, the strong desire of a man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. Neither will I ever again smite and destroy every living thing as I have done. But while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In verse 21, when I first read this back 2 or 3 days ago, I saw something in it that I had never seen before. You probably see it every time you read it, but you know, we all see things at different times. And I saw the mercy of God at its utmost. He says, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the imagination, the strong desire of a man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. Neither will I smite and destroy every living thing as I have done. Now we go back to chapter 6, verse 5. In chapter 6, verse 5, this is pre-flood, pre-Noah's flood. It says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man, which was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was on evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart." So the Lord says, "I'll destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind whom I have created from the face of the ground, not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me, makes me regretful that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we know as the story progresses as Noah builds an ark, and he saves himself, his family, his immediate family, and enough animals to replenish the earth. But it just really took me by surprise back in chapter 8, where it said the Lord, he's not going to curse the ground again, nor smite every living thing again. And he says, "For the imagination, the strong desire of man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth." And it's like all of a sudden I saw mercy. It's like a few weeks prior to this verse, pre-flood, God says, everything on earth, everybody on earth, it's evil. His imagination is evil, wicked. I'm going to take them out. And then, so he takes out everybody but Noah, you know, and the family. And then, as Noah brings forth sacrifice to God, it was pleasing to God. And God said, okay, we're not going to do this again, even though man's heart is always wicked. God went from supreme, divine, ultimate judgment to a place of supreme mercy. It's as if he said, they're going to be wicked in their imaginations no matter what I do. And I want them. So I'm not going to take them out again. He wants us. He wants our fellowship. He wants us to overcome evil imaginations. And it just really took me like, wow, even way back there when we think of Noah's flood as God's great judgment. Yes, it was. But then all of a sudden after the flood, God is saying, I want to be merciful. I want to extend my mercy. And now for the past, whatever it's been, 5,000 and something, 6,000 years, he's been extending mercy, extending mercy, extending mercy. Wow. He is so totally merciful. And he's, I believe he's glad that he did. When he first said that he would extend the mercy and no longer judgment in that sense, in the sense of the flood, when he said that, everybody was thinking evil. And now, as he looks upon the earth, it's got a lot of junk that needs judgment, you know, in my opinion. But God can look at the earth now and he would say there are millions who no longer dwell on the evils of an evil imagination. Now I have people who are at least most of the time, if not part of the time, thinking about good things, righteous things, wholesome things, healthy things. And I got a feeling God's much more pleased with mankind now than he was 6,000 years ago, because we've made some improvements because of his mercy. Wow. That's a beautiful thought. I just, you know, I wish we could get everybody on earth to think about how good God is and how merciful God is, and then they would stop thinking evil, imaginative thoughts. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Look at that. Romans 2, 4. "Are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of God's kindness and his forbearance and his long-suffering patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent?" He's saying, I've decided to be merciful because those evil brats won't quit being evil. So I'm just going to flood them with mercy now. And Paul, writer of Romans, begins to sum it all up. He said, oh, don't you know it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? Mark's a good example. He goes away to college. At college, there are college girls. So he starts, you know, it's not his fault, it's their fault because they're so beautiful. He starts thinking, you know, certain thoughts, and then he gets home at night and says, I shouldn't have been thinking like that. Man. And he starts thinking, Lord, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. And then he comes to the place, you know, where he prays through about it and he's satisfied that, you know, the Lord has forgiven him, and he's sad about what he's done, and he's repentive, and he says, Lord, you know, I need help. I'm not going to do that again. And God, you're so good to me. I'm so sorry I did it. You're so good to me. I didn't see any lightning bolts. I wasn't struck down. Wow, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. I need to repent again. You know, God's goodness leads us to repentance. It just rolls over into, God, you're so good. I'm so sorry I did that. When you are so good, why did I do that? You're so good. So good. So good. So good. Thank you, Mark, for letting me use you. Are you there? I looked up a lot of synonyms, looked up all of them I could find on imagination. And a few of them are desire, creative thinking. I like that one. One of Webster's dictionary's definitions of imagination is creative thinking. Yeah. But it also has some witchcraft terms that were in Webster's dictionary, where imagination can still be used for evil, as Noah talked about, or as God talked about in Noah's day. And it's like our imagination is a very powerful thing, because it can go into either world, evil or righteous. It doesn't even have to really be invited. It just has the power to go. It just knocks on the door and then pushes it open. It can go into any world it wants to go into, good or bad. Imagination is a very powerful force. It's also a good leader, in the sense that the more we imagine something, the more we tend to go there and follow that imagination. Part of the brick wall that I hit in my study on this was when I got over into the biblical references for imagination and into the Strong's Concordance on some, you know, Hebrew definitions and such. I think I can safely say that probably 98% of the time that the Bible used imagination, it was in an evil sense. It was almost always used for evil. I'm going, I don't like that. I need some positive things on imagination. But in biblical record, Old Testament, not New Testament, Old Testament and biblical record, it was imagination used for evil nearly all the time. And it's like, wow, I don't like that. I want to overcome that. You know, that was a problem in Noah's day, that men's hearts and minds and their imagination was thinking on evil all the time. I want to overcome that. I'm tempted, just like Mark was, to think wrong, imagine wrong. But I want to overcome, like Mark did, you know, on my knees. You did overcome, did you? We need to pray. I'm playing with you. Your imagination is powerful. And I have a strong desire for all of us to come to a maturity in the Lord and a maturity in the Word of God, where that we think far more righteous thoughts than evil thoughts. I would look forward to the day when we're changed and cleansed in heart and mind, where we never think an evil thought. Evil's a relative term. And I can imagine what it would be like to rob a bank. Imagine what it would be like to kidnap someone. Imagine what it would be like to murder someone. Imagine what, you know, all these evil things, right? Imagine what it would be like to steal something. I could imagine what it would be like to get back at my wife for what she said to me today that I didn't like. I can use my imagination for all kinds of evil stuff, but I don't want to do that. I want a controlled imagination that imagines what I want it to imagine, better than that, what God wants it to imagine. As a personal experience, in the years 1991 to 2001, there were 10 years there, plus a little time before and a little time after, but those 10 years especially were extremely hard for me personally, because of some things my family, my immediate family, were going through. And every time I'd get a bad report for what was going on in the family, my imagination would just run wild. And I would start living the pain that I thought they were going through. Sometimes they were going through it. Sometimes they weren't, but I was imagining it anyway. There were times when things were running pretty smooth for them, but I would imagine the worst. Other times when they were hurting worse than I could imagine, you know, but it all balanced out, I guess. But it's like I spent 10 years of my life that I almost felt like they were wasted. I had that feeling that I've wasted 10 years of my life. Because when I should have been imagining righteousness and imagining what God wants to do in my life, what God's going to do in the ministry, I was busy imagining what could be happening bad to my family. And it nearly run me into the ground. I was on medication for ulcers. I was on medication for nerves. I was all to pieces half the time. I put on a good front, you know, God's a man of power for the hour. I have to be strong. But my imagination nearly ruined me because I didn't have control of it. And if not for the grace of God, I don't know what would have happened. Because it was to the point where I could not control it. I didn't have the strength within me to control it. I had to cast all my cares on the Lord day after day, moment after moment, hour after hour. Lord, help me, help me, help me. You know, finally, the thing finally passed, praise God. But it was a horrible trial in my life, and I felt like I wasted 10 years of good ministry time because I was busy imagining things I should not have imagined. Now, maybe, you know, enough for this. Maybe it's touching something in you tonight. Maybe you've got something going on in your life or your family, and your imagination's trying to run wild. What if that's happening, or what? Shut it up. Imagining evil in any sense and imagining negative about your family does not help them get through their trial. How many have a family member who's going through a trial right now? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you spend the evening, mess up your sleep tonight, imagining what they might be suffering, it won't help them a bit in their suffering. Not one bit. When our imagination tries to go wild, we have got to cut it off somehow, some way, tell it to shut up and just start casting our cares upon the Lord and say, Lord, please help me shut this thing down where I'll quit imagining the wrong stuff. I used to, when I was going through these years of severe trial along this line, there were times when I'd be hurting so bad and Barbara would recognize my pain. And she would come to me and just start reading Bible scriptures. She had a whole bunch of scriptures marked in her Bible just for me. It's like medicine in the medicine cabinet. You know, she had these marked scriptures she knew I was going to need. She'd start reading all these beautiful scriptures about positive things to think about what the Lord is doing and what he wants to do. And I'd sit there, and after 5-10 minutes of hearing that scripture, it's just like, you know, taking a good pill. You know, I mean, it really worked. It just made me feel so much better. The word is powerful. And we need to use the word of God to get our emotions and our imaginations under control. Come on. I hope this is helping someone tonight. If it doesn't help you tonight, keep it in your memory banks. It'll help you one of these days. Because everybody goes through something sometime. And we can't be guided by our imagination. It's better not to even pray as with our imagination as a guide for prayer. No. Everybody happy, right? One of the synonyms for imagination being creative thinking really, really blessed me, and I began to think about that. I was reminded of a couple of stories that Bill has shared in the past about when he was working in wherever he was working, Luke Air Force Base or somewhere. And he's building this flight simulator. And they run into obstacles. I mean, you know, brick walls like I did on my teaching tonight. I had to make some changes. And, well, Bill, why don't you come tell it? Could you remember that story well enough about some of the things you did at maybe Lockheed Martin or somewhere, and you couldn't find the answer, and the Lord would show you later what to do? Okay, come share some of that. Just share a few minutes of that. It's like you can use your imagination to find answers and solutions, and this is what we're talking about here.
One that comes to mind is we married, not in the sense you think, we married 1972 equipment with 2000 equipment. So old stuff and new stuff. And the old stuff needed certain kinds of transistors to keep a 2000 volt power supply working. And they had a lot of them. And we were running out of stock and they didn't make them anymore. So they gave me the challenge of fix it. Fix it. They don't make them no more. So I happened to be looking through some large books for something entirely different just before that happened, and I saw a chip that could give us 2,000 volts with a 5-volt input, but it could only have very, very small current. I said, look at that. Flip, 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 went on what I was doing. And then when they give me this project, I'm going, where was that? And it was, Lord, you know, I saw that. I just don't know where it's at in 32 volumes of books. So I'm working on another project that they gave me. And as I'm working on it, I flip through these pages, and here's that chip again, you know. And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's it, $109. And it'll fix the problem for 16 different power supplies. And so they had me order it, put it in. I had to play with it a little bit. Got it where it provided the 2,000 volts at real low current. And it's like, fix the problem for $109 times 16. And they're going, whew. Because what they had got was they talked to an outfit to make those transistors again, which meant they had to create a whole line of production stuff, and it was going to be $50,000, okay, to come up with one, and then whatever that cost was going to be from that point on. So, but imagination. Yeah. Imagination. That was a pat on the back, I think. The Lord had been very, very great to me all through my working life. I found the Lord in 1980, and he just guided me and directed me, even though I stumbled a lot. But, yeah. And sometimes I'd get into the evil thoughts about, why did they do this to me? And the scripture that comes to me was 2 Corinthians 10:5, like casting down all these imaginations, right? And let's see. I just said it back there. Yeah. Go to 10:5, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because I have to use it frequently when things aren't going right legally, when things aren't going right in all kinds of manners. But, yeah, it's powerful, powerful scripture. You got it there?
Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Bringing every thought into captivity. As I was talking earlier about trying to control my imaginations and, you know, quit imagining so many negative things, the word there, bring every thought into captivity. Our thoughts need to be controlled. They must be controlled. If we don't control our thoughts, they'll control us. And if your imagination's running wild, you don't want it controlling you. I can tell you from experience, you don't want a wild imagination controlling you. It'll mess you up. Okay, just as a, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just for the sake of what we're doing here, how many here lately have been facing wild imaginations that need to shut up? Yeah? Yeah? Thank you very much for being bold. Well, I believe the Lord's going to help us along that line. Amen? Give me some synonyms for imagination. I'll start. Thoughts. Ideas. What was that? I didn't catch it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Misinterpretation, misconception, misinterpretation, yeah. Synonym, huh? Concepts, imagination. How about desire? Does desire come into it? I think they're pretty close cousins, huh? Desire and imagination. Vision, how about memory? Imagination may not be a synonym, but it's a close cousin to imagination. It's like a lot of my imagination comes out of my memory bank. We can imagine the past. We can imagine the present, and we can imagine what could be or what we might want to be in the future. But I think most of, speaking of those three time zones, most of my imagination comes out of my memory. Maybe it's because I'm older and have a deeper memory than some of you. I don't know, more things to remember. Our mind's full of the Word, that's in our memory banks. We can imagine things about the Word. Like we did the little exercise at the end of praise and worship tonight after the last song. The music is still playing and it just sounded so heavenly. And we started imagining what it would be like when we first see heaven. First thought, first view, first sound, heaven. And we had the various things that came up. And I believe that imagination is probably one of the most beautiful parts of the human makeup. And that's probably why the devil wants control of it. The devil doesn't want control of anything that's useless to him or his kingdom. But he really would like to have our imaginations. He'd really like to have it. That tells me that our imagination is valuable. Well, if it can be valuable to the devil for evil, it can be valuable to us for good. And I hope to find some scriptures in the near future to share with you. Once I get past the brick wall I talked about on this study, I want to find more scriptures about how to use our imagination to the glory of God. How to use our imagination to the benefit of our person and the people we love. Amen? And so some of these things we put into practice by speaking to our thoughts. I speak to my thoughts a lot. I had a stupid thought yesterday. I won't tell you what it is. It was just a stupid thought. I shouldn't have thought it. And I said out loud to myself, shut up. Don't be thinking that. I'm glad nobody heard me. I was working by myself. I'm glad nobody heard me. But I spoke out loud to myself and said, shut up. Don't be thinking like that. And so I immediately click, you know, I went into a different thought mode. So it's okay to talk to yourself. Amen. Who has something you can share with us tonight along the lines of imagination and how to use your imagination for positive? We all know how to use it for evil. Tell us how we can use our imagination for good. Come on. Bill's got an idea. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want everybody to come stand up here and we're going to pass you a microphone so we can hear you. What's your name, honey? Huh? How do you spell it?
K-O-R-A-I-N-S.
It's a beautiful name. I'm going to learn to say it.
It's okay. You can call me Corey or Corima.
Well, we think you're cool because you're Sabrina's friend anyway. So, but that is a cool name. Tell us how we can use our imaginations for good.
Well, to be honest, I haven't been using my imagination for good. But you explaining this imagination, it's actually been getting to me. But it involves this imagination about misinterpreting people. Like, mm-hmm. When I meet new people, I think they're a good person, you know? And I'm happy. And all of a sudden, when I find something about them, like I try to find a solution, try to analyze them, it makes me feel like they're using me. And I come to like conclusions that, oh, you know, they don't want to be my friends. They don't really care. And I'm to the point that I sometimes maybe do not have proof. It may look like proof, but I don't know why. And so now I'm blocking myself the world. And it's kind of hard for me. I never thought of it that way, that maybe it was just me that I was thinking that, you know, that people are bad and I don't want to interfere with them. But I never thought about it that way, that, you know, maybe it's just me that I'm not giving people a chance because I'm assuming things too much. And how you said, running my imaginations. And I'm not going to lie, I do not pray. I do believe in God. I do. I don't go to church. I don't. I used to. I stopped because people were, I thought they were using me. It seems like it was a lie. And I let my imagination get through to me to think of them like they're just lies, that they don't care. So to be honest, I never left God, but I never prayed. And now, I kind of had to say this, but It felt good. Even my heart was pumping, and I needed to say it. So maybe it's time to, how you say, stop running through my imagination.
Amen. Yeah, give her a hand. You did the right thing. You're making some decisions that are very important. And I'm real proud of you. I'm so glad you came with Sabrina tonight.
It actually feels good to let it all out. I mean, I was telling Sabrina that I gotta say something, dude. I gotta say something, dude. Do you want to tell me? It's like, no, dude. My heart is pumping. I gotta say it. And when it seems like God spoke, hey, if you guys want to share something, share it. And I told Sabrina, there's a sign. And I feel good. You know, I really do. So sorry, I'm human, but I will always do my best to always have God in my life, even though I don't pray. But trust me, everywhere I go, I always thank him. Especially, I'm in this program with Art that I've been thanking so much because it helps me let all my stress level out. But I really want to stop thinking negative about people and stop building walls, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to have faith in people again.
Not let your imagination make them ugly, huh?
And that's what I've been thinking.
Okay, it's very possible that your concept of prayer is very religious, because that's probably all you saw, a very religious, pious prayer type thing. But prayer to us here is just communicating with God as a friend. And we get through to him that way. It works. It really works. And I just, let me give you an example prayer, okay? Okay, we're not going to hold our hands together. We're not going to be religious piously. But we're going to talk to God because his presence is here. You feel him? You feel good? You feel the presence? Yeah, you can actually feel something. It's a presence. It's called the Holy Spirit. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, like most of the churches use. That's for real. But until it becomes personal, you don't really feel it. But he's here tonight because we believe in him and he's personal to us. So here's what you can do you need to pray your own prayer because it's you and God, personal, person to person. But here I want to share with you an example of prayer. Okay, we can say, Jesus, help.
Say that.
Jesus, help.
I'm tired of myself. I need you.
I'm tired of myself. I need you.
I want to change.
I want to change.
I want to think right.
I want to think right.
I want to use my imagination for good.
I want to use my imagination for good.
I know you're real, God.
I know you're real, God.
Please be real to me.
Please be real to me.
And I pray this.
I pray this.
In the name of your precious son, Jesus.
In the name of your precious son, name Jesus.
See, it's just, you don't have to do anything religious. You just have to be real.
I always felt real.
You're cool, kid. You're cool. You're on the right track. You're doing, yeah. And you know, we all have to make changes in our life when we come to these times when, like, we don't like the way it's going, don't like the way it's thinking. Well, it's time to make a change. And I believe the Holy Spirit caused you to be here tonight. I believe you didn't really realize it, but he was using Sabrina and to lead you here. You know, it wasn't all her that got you here. The Holy Spirit brought you here so you could experience his presence and learn a little bit more about him. Thank you for coming. You can come anytime and every time. We love to have you here. You can just enjoy Jesus with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. It's really awesome. The more you know about him, about the Lord, the more you want to know. And the more you feel his presence, you get addicted and just want to feel God. And when we sing and when we praise and when we worship him and study his word, we actually feel, you know, he's here and we feel his presence. Feels good, doesn't it?
I do want to say this. I never thought of anyone of religion that they were brainwashed. It's just that I had horrible times. And it came to the point that to me, how I see people, sometimes I do not think normally, but, you know, it's just misinterpretation with, well, you know, they didn't think of me. And so it was nothing bad. I was just the one that just gave up. But no one is bad here. No one.
It's like your imagination was keeping you from making friends.
Pretty much. Yes.
And sometimes to make friends, we have to test the water and see, do we want this person as a friend or no? Do we want this person? Yeah. Sometimes, you know. You've been hurt, and we get what's called gun shy. In English, they call it gun shy. You've been hurt. You don't want to take a chance on being hurt again.
Yeah.
But so consider that Jesus wants to be your best friend for life, and you can take all your hurts to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we talk to Jesus. He's in heaven, of course, but we talk to him by his Holy Spirit. His Spirit's everywhere. And the Spirit is the communicator between us and him. Yeah. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
I'm going to learn to say your name.
One thing that you need to learn is Jesus' love is not performance-based. Doesn't matter what you do. He loves you all the time. And he's just waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. In which case, whatever the problem was, is then wiped out. The same thing goes true for marriages. It shouldn't be performance-based because it's, I'll love you as long as you do what I want you to do. And I'll do everything you want me to do. But if you don't do that, I don't love you no more. Can't have that. Every time you give me a project, I have to use my imagination. Because whatever it is that you want fixed, built, whatever, I have to look at all the different paths to get to that point. What kind of material you use, like that patch on the ceiling in there. When I looked at that and they wanted to cover it up, I'm going, put a light fixture over it. You know, you don't have to patch it. Just surround it with wood, put up another light in place of the light that's there. Almost everything you do on a daily basis where you don't have an answer, you got to have your imagination tell you which step to take to get to the ultimate fix, whether it's finances, whether it's a relationship, whether it's building something, repairing something, buying something. So imagination all the time, but then you got to corral it. Because it can get pretty wild. I can buy that $10,000 thing. I've got $125 to put down on it. Not so much.
How can you use your imagination for good?
Hello.
Imagine this. You came up behind me.
I did. Sorry about that. So it was just something that... Sorry for my voice. It was just something that I really felt like I needed to say, that like we're talking about imagination and like how it can be for bad and good, but there are so many different ministries. Like even this church wouldn't be here without imagination, without somebody having an idea of like, hey, there needs to be this kind of church here with this kind of body of believers. And I mean, I know that every time that I open my mouth, I seem to say something about InterVarsity, but like InterVarsity has so many different conferences, so many different ministries, that just started by one person saying, what about this? And then going for it and trying to figure out, like, how can I get this funded? How can I get this working? Like, who do I need to talk to and stuff like that? And so I just felt like, I don't know, if you even just think of ministry, if you just even think of just reaching others for Christ and doing outreach and meeting people on their level and everything, that's imagination. You have to figure out, well, what does that look like? Like, how can I reach out to, like, I'm sure Mitch has had that kind of thing where it's like, how do I reach out to high school kids without saying necessarily, like, exactly that I'm a Christian because that's against my job? Or, like, you know, so I don't know. I just felt like I needed to say something like everybody can, like, has that potential and everybody uses that. And it's kind of like, well, are you going to use that for good? Are you going to be using that to actually speak Christ to someone's life who probably needs it? Or are you just going to, like, huh, that's a cool idea, and then kind of shy away? So that's all.
Imagine that.
To me, another part of imagination is dreaming. And I believe that God wants us dreaming with Him. God has certain desires. He has desires that none should perish, that all should come to the Lord. And God wants to give us ideas on how to, as Mitch preached a couple of Sundays ago, how to engage, how to connect with people. I know God gave us an idea years ago to reach people through what we call gentle evangelism in Mexico, and that is bringing Christmas programs with a salvation message at Christmas time and giving gifts, and it just brings the tension, and it captivates children's hearts. And then when the children find Jesus, many times the parents find Jesus. And we started doing the same thing with Vacation Bible School, and you know, putting an effort in doing a week of program with children, and a program that they're on their edge of their seats and loving, and it gets into their heart. And this week we were out delivering VBS materials, and we heard so many testimonies, just lots of testimonies of people that said, I was in V. Hidalgo, a lady came to the church and started coming to the church, gave her heart to the Lord, and has become faithful in church. And they says, well, were you ever in a Christian church before? And she says, yes, I attended a Vacation Bible School here in this property years ago. And that was when we first got the house there in V. Hidalgo. And she came and found the Lord. And when we were in Cumpas a couple of weeks ago, at a meeting, we went to eat then afterwards at a little restaurant we hadn't been to in Cumpas, and a man was there, and we didn't know him, but he knew who we were. And he said, he started asking about the meeting that was going to be in the plaza, and he said, 40 years ago, I went to VBS at Pastor Jesus's church, and I've never been back, but he said, I heard about this meeting, and I want to go. I just want to go. And he was asking us about healing, and does God really heal people? And anyway, the next night, he went to Jesus and Natalina's church, and him and his wife came up and gave their hearts to the Lord. So, you know, it plants seeds, you know, and seeds, sometimes some seeds come real fast, and sometimes it's years. But God wants us to have dreams about what He wants to do. You know, God's dream is, I want these people to come to me. And I want to see these people healed and set free from these afflictions. That's God's dreams. And we need to be dreaming with God. What is God dreaming? What is His heart's desire? And we need to connect in our spirits with God to where what God is dreaming is what we're dreaming. That's our vision. That's what we want. Hallelujah. The little video that we were going to show you, it was just awesome. It was an English lady with a strong English accent, and they had a cafe, and the Lord led them to open this cafe. And she said, every day we see miracles happen, but every day in the morning I say, God, what do you want to do today? And she sat down early one morning, and she says, okay, God, what do you want to do? And he said, a drug dealer's going to get saved today. Here. Come to me. And she said, well, I mean, our neighborhood has many opportunities because there's many drug dealers in our neighborhood. And about that time, she just no longer had heard that from the Lord. Then this young man came in that was a drug dealer, and he had had a real rough home and rough life, and he started dealing drugs to feed his younger brothers and sisters because they were just so... it's so heartbreaking and just in bad circumstances. And that's how he got into drug dealing. Well, he came in and bought food, and she knew he was the one. And then he went back out and in a little place in front and was eating with his friends. And she says, well, I can't just go out and barge in on his friends. And she said, Angel, you bring him back in here. And she said, I do that all the time. I have angels, and they'll just come and move people, get them where you need to be. And he just, about that time, he jumped up and he walked in, and she met him, and she said, God has great plans for you, for a leader in our community. He's going to turn things around in your life, and he wants to use you for his glory. And then she began to talk to him about salvation, and he says, I want it. I want to be saved. And then his friends were watching through the window. They all came in, and they all said, I want to be saved too. I want Jesus. And they ended up being, and the restaurant was full of people. And here they got on their knees right in the middle of the restaurant. They asked Jesus to come in their hearts. They stood up. They started praying for him. They were all slain in the spirit. And all the people that were around eating says, ooh, I want a buzz like that. But it's like... It says the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. And so I think that we need to be dreaming what God wants. What is God's dream? And that needs to become our dreams. We need to connect in the spirit with God and not pray from our own mind or from our own understanding, but begin to let the spirit put the imaginations that's God's heart in our minds so that we'll want what God wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
I know it's getting kind of late, but if you'll allow me about a handful of minutes, God really put something on my heart that I wanted to share. There's this online video Bible study that I was doing by Havila Cunnington for the past 20 days. And today was the last day. And it's called The Good Stuff Bible Study. And the last 5 days was really focusing on how to defeat the enemy when it comes to your thoughts. And this is definitely for me... I feel very, very strongly that it's for Koraima, and because it's the word, I know we'll all benefit from it. And the first scripture that God had put on my heart when we were talking about imagination and our thoughts and what we're thinking and how everyone has mentioned, you know, we need to keep our focus and our thoughts on what God is thinking and, you know, our dreams, what does God dream, what does God desire for us or for us to be saying or thinking? And right off the bat, the first thing I thought of was Isaiah 55:8-9, which says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, a scripture I was studying this morning was in 1 Peter, and it talks about how the devil, the enemy, is like a roaring lion who's looking for someone to prey on, who's looking for someone, to victimize. And throughout the video Bible study, we looked at, okay, so if the enemy's like a lion, what are some attributes that a lion has? Well, first of all, they always tend to lure their prey away from the crowd. So in our thoughts, you know, if we're not thinking positively like everyone else, or we start to feel alone in our thoughts when our thoughts become negative, you start thinking these things on your own, and it's kind of like, well, no one else is probably thinking this way, but this is what I'm thinking. And you kind of tend to think everyone else is thinking differently than you, or maybe thinking something, you think someone is thinking something negative about you. So, you know, the lion likes to lure his prey away from the rest of the crowd. The other thing that lions do, that's a fact, is when they are hunting their prey, it's either early in the morning hours or late in the evening hours. So it's kind of like, when do our thoughts start to wander off, and when do our thoughts start to go off into negative places? Usually it's early in the morning, where you remember what happened yesterday and you start thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or oh, I shouldn't have done that, or if I could go back to this conversation, how could I change it, and what would I say differently, and what if they said something differently, and you just start going off into this whole wild imagination with your thoughts. And, you know, the same thing at night, you do the same thing. Oh, I should have said this differently, I should have done that differently. And so as important as it is for us to focus our thoughts on God's word, it's also important to recognize when the enemy is putting thoughts, you know, is whispering thoughts to us. That's a concept that I've been studying lately, is that, you know, the devil likes to whisper negative things to us. And when the thoughts come into our minds, you know, if we make an agreement with the devil on those thoughts, you know, if he says, oh, you're dumb for saying that, you shouldn't have said that, or, you know, you shouldn't have reacted that way to that kind of conversation or that kind of issue, whatever was going on, that was really stupid of you to say that. And if you think back when you get these thoughts, like, oh yeah, I'm so dumb, I shouldn't have said that, or oh, I'm this and oh, I'm that because I thought that way or I said this thing, you make an agreement with the devil's idea that he's trying to put into your mind. So because you have that agreement, whenever you try and do something powerful afterwards, or you try and, you know, obey God, or you try and think godly thoughts, or you try and praise God, or you try and minister to somebody, you've already made that agreement with the devil that you're this way and you're that way. And so you basically render yourself defeated, because you've already made the agreement within yourself, within your thoughts, or within your heart, that you're what the devil's telling you because of your actions. And you forget that you're not your actions, but you're a child of God. You're someone who's living with Christ on the inside of you. And so as much as it's important to focus on what God's desires are and on what God's word says about us, we also need to recognize when the enemy says something about us and throw that away. And so I just really felt like that was important to share.
Yeah, imagine that. As they say in Spanish, fíjense, think of that. Who else wants to say something about how to use your thoughts for good?
So I'm back. Hi. I was thinking about this. It's a little bit more on the scientific end. I was listening to a podcast on my way back to Arizona. And, first let me preface with we all get angry, and our imagination runs wild when we get angry. For example, when someone cuts you off while you're driving, your mind either goes to A, take a deep breath and calm down, or B, hit the gas and ram them. And that's you know, two extremes. And that's just one way that your mind just kind of, you know, I would never intentionally hit someone with my car. But in that split second of anger, that thought pops into your mind. And it's weird, it's out there, and you're like, cool, let's jump to conclusions, fantastic. But I was listening to this podcast, and I was talking about the brain, and I am absolutely fascinated with the brain. I love the brain, because the more you learn about the brain, the harder it is to disprove the Bible, because a lot of people try to do that. But the more and more you learn about the brain, the harder that becomes. Because I'm reminded of a scripture in which it talks about how you already have all the tools and all the, you know, whatever you need to defeat the enemy, you already have it. Like, it's already there. And it's so ingrained in the fact that in the frontal lobe, around this area of your brain, there is a part, it's a very long word. It uses about 29 of the 26 letters in the alphabet, so I'm not going to try to say it, but I'm going to call it the toilet. There's this part in your brain that filters your thoughts and what you're going to say. And this happens to everyone. It's just a part of the brain that, because thoughts are always running through your mind. Bad thoughts, good thoughts, whatever. And your brain recognizes this thought is useless, we're throwing it in here. This thought is useless, we're throwing it in here. And, you know, it's in those moments when you allow emotion or other circumstances to take most of your focus, that you get these random weird thoughts because your brain isn't actively sorting them. And it's really, really interesting because there are some people who this part of the brain is malfunctioning. And so they get horrible thoughts or they say horrible things and they don't mean to. It just comes out because they don't have that filter. And it's really interesting to be talking about imagination in that aspect because, I mean, it's important to state that we all have those thoughts. It's not like I thought about ramming that person with my car. I am a horrible person. That's not the case. That's how your brain works. And that's how, you know, your imagination works. But it also has a mechanism in it that allows you to filter through that and to get those useless thoughts and throw them away and flush them out. That's why I'm calling it the toilet, because you just grab the crap and you throw it out because it's useless. You don't need it. It's a waste. It's a waste byproduct from anger or other outstanding circumstances. So the brain is cool.
Imagine that.
For lack of time, I'm only going to share one thing. As they were both sharing what God had put on their heart, I was reminded of a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that I heard many years ago that always stuck with me. It said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." So we can't always control the thoughts that come into our head, but it's up to us what we allow them to do to us, is the point.
We can't always control what comes in, but we can control what we do about it. We can control our response.
Wow, I wasn't expecting it to come up, but imagine that. You know, Jesus said to, when Jesus spoke sometimes, he would say, "Why do you imagine evil thoughts in your heart?" The Bible also says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul said that we have, as Christians, the mind of Christ. Yeah, yeah. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And our desires, I believe, were placed in our hearts, in our spiritual minds, so to speak, so that you can do what God called you to do. And, you know, and the devil attacks our minds and robs you of, you know, what you start thinking, well, maybe they may not accept my idea or my imagination maybe is not up to their level, and the devil might attack you in that area. And then he steals the desire that God has already placed in you to do in your life. And so I believe that's where sadness comes in and depression comes in. Once you get into that, then the things you used to like to do, you don't do no more because you don't feel that you're, how can I say this, up to that level, or you don't feel that you're up to par, you're not good enough. You'll feel that you're just different and you're not, you just don't fit in. Well, that's all the devil. And, you know, the Bible says if you want to think on things, think on anything that's pure and anything that's a good report and anything that's, I forget how the scripture goes, but you remember the scripture if you can find it. But, you know, I've had, you know, when Barbara got up to speak, the same thing was in my heart. I say, well, you know, imaginations are dreams. And the things that I know John Lennon came out with a song that I've always liked. I know it's a worldly song, and he would sing, imagine all the people living in peace and just in harmony. And then that led to when Calvin said, this is the year of the passion, where he said that the passion is God's desire to have his people in unity and love and just in one voice and one mind. And Paul said that he wants his people to think on the same level, have one mind and just be in agreement, and thus having this power of the Holy Ghost presence, you know. And, you know, just imagine, you know, all the people living in unity. Well, it's possible, because God said that with him, nothing is impossible. You know, and that it's coming, and it's coming in the form, in one word, revival. And when that revival hits, people are just going to, you know, find things, hey, you're not so much different than me. Not at all. I mean, we're all the same, really. They're not much different than me, really, you know. And just that unity and that power of unity, oh, it's just strong and powerful. What does it say? Can you read that? Did you find it?
Yes, this is the scripture Reuben's talking about. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
You know, Philippians, there it is. Yeah, I was, all those came to my heart, and it just like dominoes. And I know, I'll be honest, I didn't have the strength to come up here, but you know, once the anointing comes on you, it's hard to stop. And, you know, they've been talking a lot. I'm going to call him Pastor Ramon, preached a good sermon last week on Job. However, you know, he's, with all due respect, that was a mighty and powerful sermon. But Job, you know, he got into trouble. He had an open door. His imaginations, Calvin talked about it earlier, that he was so worried and concerned about his kids that I'm going to do this sacrifice to God, and maybe that they've sinned and cursed God in their thought life, and I'm going to do this sacrifice to God. He was worried and concerned about his children. Well, now that I have kids and they're teenagers, well, guess what? And then chapter 3, I believe in verse 5 of Job, he went on to say, after everything that happened to him, he lost his children and all his riches and possessions and everything. He said in chapter 3, the thing that I most feared has come upon me. So the devil uses fear and God uses faith. So he had an open door, and, you know, it's just, he had that imagination that evil things were going to happen to his children. And those very things that he feared the most came to pass. Not because God allowed it, but because he had an open door. And that open door was fear. And you know, and the devil, ultimately, that's what he wants to do. He wants to fill us up with fear, with doubt and unbelief, and worrying and not trusting God. And just, it's amazing. It's a battle. It's a battleground in your mind. And, you know, but we are overcomers. We have Jesus on the inside of us. We have the mind of Christ. The greater one is on the inside of you. You know, I don't know if I said this. I'm going to say this real quick. But this other thing that came to my mind as you were talking about imagination. And last year, I think, or a year and a half ago, I forget when, but I got a flu shot at work, and I had never had one before in my whole life. But you know, worry, working with people who are prone to get sick and with the flu, and they start telling me that maybe you should take it too, because this is get real strong in the flu season. I said, all right, I'll take it. Guess what? I had an allergic reaction to that shot. And I kid you not, my eyes were puffed up. They were like that stuff that you come up in the morning. I don't know what you call it, that goo, and it was just coming out of my eyes by itself. My eyes were itching, and pretty soon I could not breathe. So I went to home that way anyway. I went back home, drove from Bisbee back home. I kid you not, I know for a fact that I almost died that night. I was in my bathroom, just like this. Couldn't breathe. And I said, Lord, I feel as though my spirit is going to just detach from my physical body. That's what it felt like. So I gave it all the strength that I had, physically speaking, and I felt as though my body was just dead, and my spirit was this close to just detaching from my body. And it felt as though as that spirit man would detach, that my body would just fall back dead. But I'm alive to God. And I knew that in my spirit. And then I remembered my wife and my daughter and my son. I said, no, I'm not ready for this. The Holy Spirit brought to my memory, or you can say this, to my imagination. He said this, I have according to the Spirit, how does that go? Anyway, it's in Romans. It's the law of the Spirit of life. And he said, I have set you free from sin and death. That's all he brought to my memory. And then when I got it in my head, I said it with my mouth, and that was it. I said to the devil, I have been set free from sin and death. And the moment those words left my mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the moment they left, something called joy came out of me. And a supernatural strength came all over my body. I hadn't slept all night. It was probably 5 o'clock in the morning. I get up like 5:45 in the morning. When I went to sleep, I got up the next morning about 5:45 in the morning. Hadn't slept all night. And I went to work as though I had slept all night. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is God's imagination. He wants to see us healed and just set free from, and he has. He set you free from sin and death.
Yes, good.
You know, I wasn't expecting to come up, but you know. I'm done. I love you so much. You know, the spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. And they're always fighting each other. And, you know, as long as we live in this body, we have the flesh to contend with. But we're spiritual beings, and we are overcomers. And the devil is a liar. And we are just spiritual. Yeah. And we're dreamers. We are. I am. Yeah. I'm a dreamer. I really am. I got dreams that you wouldn't believe. Well, yes, you would, because you're believers. God bless you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you, Reuben. Imagine that. Connie's got one here.
Husband said, uh-oh. Thanks, husband. Mine's going to be real quick. Don't be laughing at that. That's not fair. No, one of the things that helps me when these squirrely thoughts just keep coming and keep coming, I start speaking something out of my mouth. And more times than not, I'll either start praising God out loud. I don't care where I'm at. I can be in a store somewhere, I can be anywhere, and I'll speak it out of my mouth, and those thoughts will stop very quickly. And then other times, I'll just start singing, just start worshiping God. Oh, I just love you so much, Lord God. I just worship you. I just worship you. You can only do that 2 or 3 minutes are gone. So that's a cure. Start speaking something good out of your mouth, and the Word of God, and loving our God, and speaking praise to Him. And it's good and easy.
That's a beautiful punchline. Let's all stand. Take somebody by the hand. And we're going to think outside the box, right? Non-religious reality show for Jesus. Okay, I got to take somebody's hand too. Let's look up. Say, Lord, thank you for being awesome.
Thank you for being awesome.
I want to know more about that. Please help me control my thoughts. To turn off the evil. and to turn on the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Go for it. Have a great week.